You're listening to Cat Tales. Hi, and welcome to Cat Tales. Multi-instrumentalist Michael Steed has contributed bass, keyboards and even penny whistle to some classic recordings as a full-time member of some influential bands including Flesh for Lulu, Love Affair, The Marmalade and The Rubettes. His life changed in 1989 when he answered an advert in Melody Maker, one of the top magazines of the day, which led him on a journey to the US, Europe and even Theatreland. This is The One with Michael Steed.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hello, Kat. I'm well, thanks.
God, it's been ages since I saw you. It must be, what, 4 years?
It is about 4 years.
With the Marmalade.
Yeah.
And we were doing the penultimate tour.
Yes.
Or you were doing the penultimate
yes.
tour. I would have liked to have been on the penultimate tour.
Yes.
But I was obviously working with
you
it.
You might not have liked to have been, actually. How long you got?
A few stories there, is there?
Well, possibly.
But that was the last time we met,
yes.
wasn't it? So now, of course, you've moved on from there two, 3 years ago?
Yes, a year and a half or so since I stopped playing Marmalade. Yeah.
Brilliant. And what have you been doing since then?
I've done stuff on and off with the Rubettes.
What a classic band.
Yeah.
You've played with them for a while, though, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, sort of in and out of the Rubettes. They're all mates, really, so... I don't know, that's something that could easily at some point, I suppose,
reoccur and then non-occur
and resurrect and whatever the opposite of resurrect is, I don't know.
Get rid of you, come back again.
Yes, yeah. So, in fact, one of the Rubettes I'm going to be playing just for fun on a Wednesday night in a pub band with around Essex in the pubs we live. Kenny Butler, who's in the Rubettes, us two and a guitarist called Terry Stewart and a drummer called Ian Ryan from Grand Prairie.
Wow.
So we're going to be doing that just for fun on a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night. Rubettes is, I'm kind of always, linked with it a bit.
A Rubetta.
Yes, if you like. But no, Marmalade stopped about 18 months ago for me.
But you're with them quite some time, though, about 5 years?
6 years,
six
yeah.
Years.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it was terrific. I really loved it. It's a great band to be in. It reached the stage, though, where the band, or Sandy primarily, Sandy doesn't want to gig so much and I need to work more than that. So it's fair enough, isn't it? Yes, it just wasn't really a workable relationship anymore, you know. And inevitably, once you start saying yes to other things, it starts to clash with the diary of this band and that band, and it just becomes too unworkable. So it really was probably the best thing for me to bow out of Marmalade, you know.
Yeah, well, it gets to that stage, doesn't it, really, where you've got, you know, conflicts of interest and stuff and new
yes.
things come in and new exciting
yes.
opportunities.
Yes,
but, I mean, you've played with so many different people in your illustrious career that you have. But, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about how their career started, and I think yours is very similar. They answered an advert in the Melody Maker, and I think you did the same kind of thing, didn't you?
I did exactly.
Tell me about that.
88 or 89, this was. And in those days, Melody Maker was a vastly different organ as such. It was, you bought it like a newspaper, as you know, and there wasn't all this kind of online trappery really going on. And you bought it every week if you were looking for a gig, and it was the best one. You had Sounds, NME, New Musical Express, and Melody Maker,
yeah.
the MM.
Yeah.
And out of all of them, the MM was the one to spend your 60p on. And you'd flick through there, and the adverts would say things like, motherfucking bass player required for band intent on world domination, and there'd be all these crazy mental... freaky-haired, gothy, lunatic adverts. But there was this one very sober one, and it just said, bassist required for a band about to embark on a North American tour.
Ooh.
Or something like that. And I thought, bloody hell.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that the world domination didn't bother me particularly. So
not this year.
No. And I was surprised to find when I rung up, it was for Flesh for Lulu, which...
Wow.
Yeah, was
big band.
Yes, big band.
Very big band at the time.
Big band here on Beggar's Banquet, but a bigger band in America on the Capitol label.
Right, okay.
And doing songs for John Hughes soundtracks like Some Kind of Wonderful.
Wow.
This was before my time. they cracked it there. It was in the film Some Kind of Wonderful, I Go Crazy.
Yeah.
It was a massive song all over America.
Terrific.
So it got them enormous exposure. So, yeah, went and auditioned for that and got that.
Wow.
And it was pretty quick. I can't remember how long. Maybe only about 3 weeks or so after that we were in America.
Blimey.
Beforehand, it was, can you come to John Henry's? We had something like a fortnight to learn the set. And, I mean, honestly, it was ridiculous. It was all done in 3 days.
Had the whole fortnight booked out and
yes,
you did it in 3 days.
They all knew what they were doing and yeah, it was up to me to hurry up and learn it. Well, I hurried up and learned it, so it didn't take so long, you know.
Wow.
But
how did that feel, though? That was an amazing opportunity for you, from going from nothing,
it
the
was.
Start of your career to such a... Actually, that's a big thing to get.
It was a big leap.
Mm.
Yeah, it was like being pulled out of the local park and dropped into Wembley Stadium to play football. It
yeah,
really was. It was
yeah,
a bit of a leap. So, yeah, it was good. Just going to John Henry's rehearsing was pretty good.
Iconic.
I'd never lived in that world.
No.
So it was crazy. Who's that next door? Oh, ABC. Who's that next door? Oh, Transvision Vamp, Level 42. And they're all in there at the canteen getting their dinners. And it's just...
Amazing,
it was bizarre.
Yes, it must have made your head spin a bit, though, really.
It completely did.
I mean, how old would you have been at that time?
I was about 29 or something.
Yeah, so...
So I'd had a long time messing about in the Shires, in working men's clubs and pubs and all that, and never really thought of, or not made that, you know, that transition into the next stratosphere, and suddenly, that's where I was. It was pretty odd, but in a good way, you know.
Yeah, from normal life to stardom in a way.
It really was.
Overnight success, in a way.
It absolutely was.
And you were playing bass for those guys, weren't you, as well? Because you don't only play bass. You play keys as well,
There's
don't you?
Keys for a lot of bands.
Yeah. Penny Whistle, I've heard you play as well.
Oh, yeah, that was in the Marmalade, the latter days of Marmalade. On Penultimate, there was a couple of whistle tunes.
Yeah.
And we did them live as well, so.
So you've been in demand then, in terms of your musicianship, in different instrumental groups then?
Yes, I suppose. Yeah, I've always had other options to, But my first love is playing the bass. I feel that I do have, you know, a comfort.
Something nice up front there to grab.
Yeah, it's the thing I'm most comfortable with, I think.
Mm. So where did you go from there? I mean, obviously you've had quite a few different bands along the way. Love Affair was one that springs to mind for me as well. You've played with those guys as well, haven't
you? Love Affair started in about 1991. The sad demise of Flesh for Lulu was that we got a song in another John Hughes film, which is called Uncle Buck.
Oh,
with
yes.
John Candy.
Yes, absolutely.
Which was terrific.
Big film.
Yeah. We then got onto a tour where we were going around America with Public Image.
John Lydon.
That was a bit of a eye-opener. As well. John Lydon is an eye-opener.
Yes, I
anyway,
bet.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I interviewed Glenn Matlock a while back, actually, and he was telling me some stories from the Sex Pistols. So that's, I can imagine it was a little bit interesting.
It was a bit fraught. You know, when you're in a bar in Austin, Texas, and the place is full of... cowboy, or what appear to be cowboys, because they've got cowboy hats on, and with him just standing there taunting them and effing and jeffing at cowboys.
Not the home turf.
Yeah.
What a mistake to make.
And I remember we played at the Bronco Bowl in Dallas, Texas, and I remember it because it was my birthday. He came out on the stage, and the first thing he said was, can we use moderate language here?
Moderate.
Okay, well, he said, you can always tell when you're in Texas because the only things you can smell are bull thing and horse thing, which is not a great...
It's not moderate.
It's not a great one to...
No.
Yeah.
Won the audience over then?
No. So it was an exciting time, kind of. But when that tour finished and the one after finished, we were then due to open for Billy Idol on the stadium tour. And I don't know if you remember Billy Idol falling off his motorbike and busting his leg up. Well, that was the demise of Flesh for Lulu.
Oh, was it?
The tour was cancelled.
Oh, no.
The previous Christmas, the top man at Capitol, in the Capitol Records building in Hollywood, was telling us how he'd go to the ends of the earth to break Flesh for Lulu to the fullest. And we're on the Billy Idol tour. And then the next news was he was off his bike in the gutter with his leg in five bits, and
My word,
and Capitol dropped us like a hot thing.
Oh dear.
And as soon as that happened, Beggar's Banquet did the same thing, you know.
Wow.
It was Capital that funded all the videos and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Beggar's Banquet, you know, the goose that laid the golden egg, if you like, was Capital. And in a matter of days, the whole thing was...
But this is how it goes, isn't it? Yes. Like almost fate, isn't it? That sort of intervened at that time.
Yes.
And took that away from you, which must have been really heartbreaking, having gone from one stage up to the success.
Yes.
And it's almost like, oh my God, where am I going now?
It really was. Yeah. And to be fair, anything I've ever done since then hasn't been of the same craziness.
Yeah.
It's become a much more staid,
conventional
kind of... So Love Affair, Love Affair... Began in about 1991.
Mm.
And Chip Hawks, kind of concurrently.
As in Chesney Hawks' dad?
Yes.
The one and only Chesney.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
In fact, when I met Chip and we were doing gigs, it was at the height of his.
Okay.
Of Chesney's thing.
Oh, was it?
Which I'm thinking is 91, maybe 92.
About then, I would think.
Yeah, something like that. And he was still living at home, they were living in Sunningdale.
And, of course, Chip was part of the Tremolos, the singer, wasn't he?
Yes. So the Chip Hawks gig was you go out and you do a load of Tremolos songs, which he had sung on and try and replicate being a Tremolo arrangement, and but also do his solo stuff as well.
Yeah, sure.
It was a good time, and Chip's a lovely bloke.
That's good.
He really is. He's fighting his illness again at the moment.
Oh, is he not well? Oh, dear.
Yeah. He's had one bout of cancer, which he... has staved off, but I think at the moment he's undergoing more.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah.
Let's wish him well.
Yes,
I'm
absolutely.
Sure he'll be fine. Let's wish him well. So that's the point to be.
He is a lovely bloke. Yeah. He really is. I've got ever such fond memories of playing with Len, or Chip, as we call him.
Oh. So sometimes it may seem that life has dealt you a lemon, but actually it's dealt you a nice lemon drizzle cake.
Yes, if you like. With sugar on the top.
With sugar on the top.
And squeezed lemon. Yeah.
Always the best sort.
But Love Affair kind of ran at the same time as the Chip Hawks thing, and it duplicated up on some of the musicians. So if you're in Love Affair, you might be doing the Chip Hawks gig as well. And, so it kind of ran in conjunction with the two things.
Terrific.
But that went on for a long time, till about 2009.
Wow.
Something like that. It's a long time to to do that for.
And then, of course, I know you've also done not only just sort of like bands in terms of like conventionally, but you've also done musicianship in sort of like shows as well, haven't you? Rocky Horror Show, fabulous.
Yes,
Blues Brothers.
That came from being in Germany with Chip. That was late. That was probably late 90s. But Blues Brothers... tours as well, they came up because of that. It's amazing how things lead on to something. You know, it's a permanent knock-on effect, for better or for worse.
So what's the secret then for being in the career so long? Because you've actually had a great career for somebody who's there's one sense in terms of bands, but also sessionship in other areas as well. So how do you manage to maintain that?
Well, I've always been somebody's bass player or somebody's piano player, but mostly bass. I've always been somebody's bass player. I've never really been... I mean, even going back to Flesh for Lulu, I mean, they'd established themselves as a band with the lineup that they had, and then at some point the bass player and the drummer got sacked, and they got in a Swedish drummer and they got me in on bass. And so all the things I've ever done, I've always felt as though I'm brought in as this hired... not gun, but...
gun for hire.
this hired bass.
Yeah, hired hand.
And I still get a lot of my work now, which is really from... recommendations, and it's from bands that say, can you do this week coming up, because Harry's on holiday or Billy's in hospital or so that tends to be the flavour of what I do quite a bit. It seems to be being dropped into something and then let go again because their bloke's coming back.
But actually, that's something quite nice about
it. I do quite like that.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah. Because actually, what you're showing then is actually your flexibility and your ability to be able to pick things up. You learn things very quickly.
I learn stuff.
Yeah.
And it's I learn stuff because I apply myself and that's it. There's no magic in it. But I do learn the stuff. And I think people get to grasp that and think, oh, yeah, he'll turn up and he won't fall off the stage. Which is always handy.
Yes, it always helps.
Yes, and you'll learn the stuff, you know, and that's kind of,
So where are you going from here then? What are you doing now then? So you've got the Shadows?
I mean, yes.
You've been in the what's the, tell me the story.
Into the Shadows is a 2.5-hour theatre show, a celebration of Cliff, but primarily the Shadows. There's some. It's probably 33% Cliff and 66% Shadows material. And it's a theatre show that goes around. They're very good. The band are excellent. A guy called Rob Fellows is the Hank Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
John Hayden is the rhythm guitarist and sings the Cliff parts. Colin Evans is on drums. He's actually out with a knee injury at the moment. He's had a knee operation. And Rick Fitzpatrick's on drums for the time being. But they're a great unit. They play all arts centres and small theatres.
Nice intimate gigs then.
Yes, they are. With perhaps only 500 people sitting watching it, but it's up close and it's good and.
Yeah, a bit of a contrast, really, because some of the other stuff you've done, like the Flesh for Lulu, was big people, yes. What's a big audiences.
Yes,
you know?
And much
Moms
more impolite.
As well, you know? Yeah. Much more impolite, I like that.
Whereas this is kind of raucous, but in a sedate way.
Yeah.
And it's my second year of this. They'll stop in end of November, I think.
Nice and mellow.
Yeah, it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it, and they're lovely people.
And I know you've got some big news as well, but of course you can't tell me that at the moment. That may or may not be coming up, so it could be interesting. Some projects you're working on.
Yes, something that I can't even talk about.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting, Sam. You'll tell me first, though, so I can tell the listeners when we finally get to hear that, won't you? Yes, of course. But you're also doing some stuff with the Old Boy Network, aren't you, which is your old chums, I feel.
The Old Boy Network, yes.
from a few years back.
Yeah, it's since before I went to America and did my things, and it involves Kenny Butler from the Rubettes, a drummer called Ian Ryan from Grand Prairie, and a guitarist called Terry Stewart, and we all live roughly in the same town. So that'd be good. That'd just be playing just a load of covers in pubs, just for the fun of it, really.
Nice.
£50.
But sometimes that feeds the soul, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does.
It's a bit of a balance for you guys.
Yes, I'm even looking forward to the rehearsal.
Yeah.
Which I've never really been able to say. I hate rehearsing.
Oh, really?
That's why I always love to learn my stuff.
Yes.
I never want to be in a rehearsal where I'm the bloke that's got to catch up with everyone. I hate that.
Yeah, that's horrid.
I want to learn my stuff and then there's no,
But... Do you know, Mike, you've always been a consummate professional. You really have. You always have every time I've met you, and it's a delight to speak to you. And thank you so much for chatting with me today.
It's been lovely to see you. And don't leave it another 4 years.
I know. Was that ridiculous, isn't it? Well, it won't be because
you don't write, you don't call.
I know. I don't message. What am I like? Mike, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
It's been lovely to see you as well, mate. Mwah.
Thank you. You've been listening to Cattails.
To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattails.co.uk.